Yeah, I'm pretty happy it's over. Just move on.
Were you surprised at the level of intensity of the crowd? The booze?
That's about the loudest I've heard this place ever. Really? After it only took 7 years of me leaving for them to get into the game. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was mixed, it was a nice tribute. And there was plenty of people here that were supporting me, and there was plenty of people here that were booing me. So they must just be booing me because they wish I was still here. I don't know. You know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not the first kid to deal with it. So just move on. And it was a tough game. You know, give them credit. They played hard.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We're your hosts today, TJ, Zach, and Raj.
Hey there.
Hey.
We got your week preview for you guys. We are Five Hole. You can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. You can join the Fantasy Hockey Discord. Lots of fucking injuries this week. We were talking in the group chat earlier, and it's just like the list, even in the chat, was extensive. And then as we were talking about it, Jacob Chychrun got hurt. Somebody else got hurt, and I forget who. Connor Murphy, just tonight. This is an extensive injury list with shit tons of implications. So take us there.
Yeah, actually, I felt the need to apologize to you guys.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be half the show.
I said I'm sorry for all of the injuries, as if they are my fault.
They are.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is my fault.
But it just feels like that kind of week, right? Like it was exceptionally heavy this week.
Yeah, that was one of the things. We're like, well, we'll just talk about the big important players. And then you look at the list and like, fuck, there's a lot.
They're all big players.
Yeah, you know, just talk about the important guys. And then I named off my list of players and you were like, yeah, those are important guys.
It's a rough week.
Tough week. All right, take us there, man.
So speaking of, why don't we just stop beating around the bush here? Bust out these Madame Pomfreys, and you know, then we can get into the week preview. Man, we're going back to these fucking old school weeks where it's like all these super heavy days and then all these super light days. And the super light days fucking suck. Like we're looking at Ottawa and Arizona being the only Monday games. So
oh, yeah.
it's gonna get fucking interesting next week. There are gonna be, you know, choices to be made on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for sure. Let's jump into these injuries. I think I want to start in Colorado. I think I'm going to go Colorado here because, you know, I feel like this is one of the biggest ones, mainly because they're number one. You know what I mean? They're number one in the West over there. And we got to start with Gabriel Landeskog. According to Jared Bednar, Landeskog will be having knee surgery on Monday and is going to be out indefinitely. And with no timetable for return, it's kind of looking as if he might be out for the rest of, at the very least, the fantasy season. With Landeskog out of the lineup here, though, I do think that there are some interesting things that could happen. Number one, we have to take a look at who's replacing him. Obviously, that's always a big question mark whenever a big player, especially a first liner on one of the best teams, if not the best team in hockey right now. Throughout this year, it's been Valeri Nichushkin. He's going to slot right back into there, into that top line spot. Unfortunately, and me being a Nichushkin owner, because I have held on to him for a little bit, just because I can't get enough of this Nichushkin, Kadri, and Burakovsky line, but now they're not on that line. But I'm okay with it, obviously. The only thing is, he's been like super fucking transparent with all of his offense. He only has 2 assists and, you know, nothing for shots on goal, but at only 20% owned, I think he definitely has much more of a long-term value here with the Avs if he's going to be on that top line and if he stays there. You got to think and hope that that offense is going to come, you know, playing on a line with MacKinnon and Rantanen, who are, you know, some of the best players in the league.
I'm looking up knee injuries here, man, and it's like 12 to 16 weeks. I mean, if that's going to be the case, it is the season.
It seems like it. Like the note that I'm just seeing on Yahoo right now, Bednar, it says here that he hopes to have him back for the stretch run.
Stretch run. There you go.
You can hope all you want. For our show, at least, for the fantasy perspective, you're done. You're done with Landeskog. If you plan on having to be a keeper, that's one thing. But otherwise, no offense, I'm dropping Landeskog.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, just a conspiracy note here. There's been a lot of talk about the Avalanche making one more move, and between a couple of the injuries they had today, they just put $12 million on LTIR. Coincidence?
I think so. I think it is coincidence. Like, you hate to call it convenient because it's injuries and these are like real life people, but yeah. You know, it almost forces their hand. Like, they're going to have to make a move. And I think Giroux was somebody that was up there, somebody that could play center and left wing, same as Landeskog at this point. You know, it doesn't bring the same grit, you know, can win a faceoff. That's for sure. So I would look at that. Maybe one of the only landing spots outside of Minnesota that I think would be good for Giroux fantasy wise. You know, especially if he lands on the top line. Hard not to imagine that's what happens. Like, you know, if Nishushkin's your replacement, I'll take Giroux.
Yeah, I think he's going there.
And that's definitely 100% where I was going next with that whole LTIR thing. Is they were already kind of looking at Giroux. They were already kind of in the market for Giroux. The only thing is, and I think everybody's kind of been on this train of, you know, Giroux is going to get to his 1,000th game, all of it with the Flyers, but that should be next Thursday. His thousandth game should be next Thursday. And then the following Monday, the 21st, that's the trade deadline. So I think you could definitely see something happen, you know, late next week, if not over that weekend. And Giroux very possibly could be an Avalanche. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. Now, that isn't their only worry, though. They also have Sam Girard, you know, Bowen Byram out. That's a good part of your defense right there. Sam Girard is looking at a four-week time span right here. With the trade market as it is, I don't see them picking up another defenseman, because they should be getting him back, and actually Bowen Byram should be back somewhat soon. Everything that I've been reading says that, you know, where they'd plan on finding their defensive help is from the Colorado Eagles, which is the AHL affiliate. So I think that that's the direction they're going to go, and they're just going to stock the fuck up on offense with this trade deadline coming up.
Yeah. You still got Devontae's. You still have Makar, you know. Their decor isn't decimated because of Girard, especially with Byram coming back. So I do see them leaning forward if they're going to make a move, which I imagine they will.
Okay, next up, let's take a trip to L.A., which actually is where my wife is right now. My wife is in L.A. Mm. She was at some, like, the Santa Monica Pier and all sorts of fun shit.
Must be nice.
I've been at home in Raleigh.
Must be nice.
Yeah, it must be. Starting off, a guy that we brought up last week, and this was mainly because Arvidsson was out, which he still is. Arvidsson is still, you know, he's out with trade rumors. But Andreas Athanasiou, who took over his second line spot, he's going to miss the next four games for the Kings minimum. And he was actually playing really well once he got bumped up to that second line spot. I'm a little upset about that one because I did stream him for a day and it helped me out. And it's not only there, it's also on the defense. Drew Doughty has been, he's been out for a little while now. He has been recently changed to a down-to-dance designation, but he's still out for the time being. He won't play today versus the Sharks. Didn't play in the past couple of games. And they also just lost to the Sharks. The only thing is, they haven't been playing horrible. They've scored at least three goals in the last five games that they've played. So I at least like the offense moving forward. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, they are missing some big guns. Make no doubt about it. Drew Doughty is a big gun on that defense. He is, you know, kind of like the heart and soul of that team as of right now. Athanasiou out, and obviously Arvidsson still out too. You know, next up, this is a guy we have talked about pretty often this year, and that's Braden Holtby. And he's been in and out of the crease pretty much this whole season. And, you know, more of an emphasis with the quote-unquote out part. Now, when healthy, he has seen his best season this year in, you know, the truncated season that it has been for him since the 2018-2019 season. And while that is true, it does not change the fact that Jake Oettinger has been the better goalie throughout the entirety of the season. He has a better save percentage at a 922 compared to a 913 for Holtby, and a better goals against average at 2.3 compared to a 2.78 for Holtby. Don't get me wrong, those are good numbers for Holtby, but man, those are fantastic fucking numbers for Ottinger. On top of the fact that his, you know, just wins-loss record is just vastly better. It literally seems like they play better with Holtby in net as a team.
They probably got to play harder. You know what I mean? Like, with Ottinger, you...
Why?
You trust the guy. And sometimes that, like... You know, I remember the same thing in when he was in Washington.
Oh, I thought you were saying they play harder because they have to because he's not as good. I thought that's who you were getting at.
Yeah, Dallas is a top three team in goals against per game played over the last month. Boston's the only team that's better. What do you think happens with Miro Heiskanen? He's got mono, which could be fucking 3 weeks, could be 6 months. That could be it. So, I mean, what does that mean for the goalies? Are you worried at all?
Who are you kissing?
I don't have too much worry. I mean, the whole team is such a systematic defensive team. I think they'll be fine. I hope he gets back, man. I had mono back in high school, and I was absolutely decimated for a month. Like, I couldn't even get out of bed. So, yeah, he's going to be out for a while, and it's like it's an energy kill. So, I guess he's probably done for the fantasy season at this point.
Yeah, for a little bit. I mean, you got Ryan Suter on power play too now, so... He's worth at least putting on your watch list at this rate.
Esa Lindell is looking fan-fucking-tastic, too, by the way.
Yeah, he's got the top power play with Pavelski, newly minted. Joe Pavelski, that is. Rupi Hintz, Jason Robertson, and Johnny Klingberg. I can't remember if I said him already. But yeah, you got Suter with, like, the throwback team. Radulov, Ben, Sagan, and then you got Gurianov on there. So, check it out. I wanted to go back to, L.A., with the top six that they were running. So Iafallo is back on the top line at this moment with Kopitar and Kempe. Then you got Trevor Moore, Philip Deneau, and Arthur Kaliev. Somebody I touted on our last episode, somebody I'm still keeping a watch on. Now that he is top six and top power play, I think he's a little more interesting at this point. So I wanted to throw him out there. I couldn't let a opportunity to talk about Kaliev go.
And I like Deneau as well. But I always have. And
yeah, they mix him in too. So he's getting like mixed power play time. I'm not going to disagree there.
Well, I mean, he has 5 points in his last five games. So there's not much to disagree about. And he threw a 7-hit game in there out of fucking nowhere. Out of nowhere. Just zero hits, zero hits, zero hits. Boom. 7 motherfucking hits. Because I feel like
that. I don't know if that's something we're chasing right now. It's just like you said, crazy. It seems like a blip.
It's so crazy.
It's
the outlier for sure, but like it's nuts.
He just had an angry day.
Good for you, Philip Deneau.
Get it out. So we got Columbus up next, eh?
We do got Columbus, and we got some heavy hitters in Columbus too. Two of their best players Columbus. All three, one. You know, one is their best scorer and one is their best passer. Their best passer being Jakub Voracek. And I'll tell you what, they lost both of these players in the same fucking game. That's Jakub Voracek and Patrick Laine. Paint you a picture here. They're playing the Wild. Columbus pulls their goalie. So Columbus pulls Merzlikins. They're going. Voracek is going up the ice. They pulled their goalie. They got the extra man. Fucking my guy, Marcus Foligno. Trips him up like an asshole, and it was a little dirty. He trips him up, and Jakub Voracek got a little fucked up. He got a lower body injury. You could see that he was in very visible discomfort. He had trouble getting off the ice, but he was able to make it over to the bench. He did not return. They end up scoring, go to overtime. In the overtime in that same game, Patrick Laine had a non-contact injury to his knee. Now, he also managed to get off the ice and got back to the locker room. Generally, at least from what I've seen, non-contact knee injuries, they just aren't a good thing. In general, they mean either a torn ACL or MCL. And while obviously I hope that this isn't the case, I really do, from what I've seen across the sports world, when it is a non-contact knee injury, it's usually bad. It just is. And I don't know how else to get around that. I don't want to be throwing out rumors out there, but let's be honest. It's just how kind of... I know.
Nice.
It's just kind of how, like, these things work. So with two of the Jackets' main offensive talents on the shelf, it may be hard to recover for
There's
Columbus.
There's actually three.
Yeah, we got some bad news here, Zach.
There's another one.
So remember how we said the injury list has been getting longer?
Their other best player.
Yeah, our buddy BJ. Boone Jenner? Yeah. Yeah. This team is ugly right now. He has a back injury. He's on IR. He is week to week.
Oh, they're
Things
fucked,
are
man.
Not going well.
They're fucked.
Because, yeah, I mean, that's...
Because I'll tell you what.
What is that? That's three of your top six forwards.
Jack Roslovic ain't going to do it for you. Ain't going to do it.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
This is a huge order for Cole Sillinger right now. Like, at this point, you kind of just have to fold. Like, especially if Voracek or Line 8, you know, accumulate any sort of, like, long timetable, just go for it. I mean, you got Chinnikov, you got Sillinger, you can play around with Ruslovic a little bit. You have Nyquist just for, you know, nostalgia. But you got Bjorkstrand, who still needs to do something. Maybe they shoehorn Max Domi back to... This is going to be... I mean, I'm interested, but, like, train wreck interested. I just want to look... But I have no interest in taking part. So I'm keeping tabs on these line combos the next game that comes out. But this is, man, that's not going to be good. Jenner week to week, Line A with a knee injury, Voracek, it was his leg. A speedy recovery to everybody.
Whew. Yeah, I do feel bad because obviously I like Voracek, and not that I, you know, dislike Patrick Line A, but I've just always had something against him. But still, I don't ever want to see somebody get hurt like that. I'm still always even rooting, well, except for Brad Marchand. Fuck him.
So let's say you're still a Merzlikens owner. How you feeling? Ooh. We're going shopping, aren't we?
I am personally not still a Merzlikens owner.
Yeah, just put yourself in those skates. Put yourself in those shoes. How do you feel? Really, I'm going shopping on the waiver wire, personally.
Yeah, I already did drop him, so I would be dropping him. To pick up a player like you can pick up a Vanacek who is playing incredibly well right now, who I've kind of been dropping and picking up and dropping and picking up. And I believe he's on like a 4-game win streak right now. I had picked up a Sorokin, luckily, that I immediately replaced Merzlikens with. But there are players out there that are playing fantastic right now that are available. I mean, if you're feeling froggy, you pick up like a Mrazek or something like that, because he is definitely going to be getting, you know, the lion's share of the starts here, which actually I'll tell you what, we can even go there next. Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell is going to miss a minimum of 2 weeks with a rib injury, which has set the Leafs to recall Eric Karlgren from the Marlies, and
sure,
things aren't exactly moving in the direction that I thought they were. So in the beginning of the season, man, Campbell looked like the real fucking deal, And in the past 2 months, it's almost like all the wheels fall off. They just all fell off all at once. And the thing is, Mrazek fucking sucks. Like, he is fucking bad. He sucks.
Did you see that Chychrun goal he let in?
Yeah, he blows, man. I'm sorry.
Fucking laser. What a laser that was.
Mrazek, he's bad. He's bad. I don't care what anybody says.
We tried to warn you guys. We tried to warn you. Look at their next week. Toronto. Like, you're probably thinking, oh, yeah, like, rubbing your hands together, fucking Mr. Burns style. Like, yeah, I'm going to get fucking Peter Mrazek. They got Dallas, Carolina, and Nashville this week. They just lost to the Coyotes.
They've lost like the Coyotes recently. They lost to fucking Buffalo. Mrazek let in 5 goals against Buffalo because he sucks. And in all honesty, like, Karlgren, we'll see what's going on with him. But even in the AHL, he has a 904 and a decent record. He's a 15-8-1 record thus far this year. But I mean, you want to see your AHL goalie whooping ass. Like, you want to see them dominating in the NHL, and a 904 just isn't that. So if you're, like I said, if you're feeling froggy, you can pick up a Mrazek because he is going to get starts. 100%.
Yeah,
he is going to get starts.
Man.
If you have, if you just need to fill, yeah, if you need to fill starts and you're hoping to get shots on goal and shit like that, you'll probably win shots on goal because they let up a lot of those. But you ain't going to win save percentage with Peter Mrazek at your back. That's for damn sure.
Even next week with Jersey, Montreal, and then Florida, like the Jersey and the Montreal, those two teams right now, you don't know which one's showing up. Like they could dominate you, or they could be the team that they look like on the surface. Like Montreal could really go either way. They usually get up for a Toronto game. So that's going to be interesting. New Jersey has been on a different fucking level offensively lately. And Montreal too. Like there's some streaks happening. Like Jeff Petrie doesn't suck. Cole Caulfield doesn't suck. Like, you know, there's things going on in Montreal, and then Florida. They're just Florida. So just, you know, I can't even say temper your expectations, but just be pragmatic about what you expect out of Mrazek over the next 2 weeks. There's one back-to-back here. So if Carlgren, you know, if he is just a backup, he's going to be getting Montreal. So just heads up. That's all I want to say.
Even after Campbell's injury, I dropped my Mrazek. I just, between their schedule and him as a person and goalie and Toronto's defense, I'll find something else.
Yeah, I'd much rather have Vanecek, like you were saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, Sorokin, I know you picked him up in our ESPN league where there's no...
Yeah, he's very highly owned. So, like, I got lucky on that one. But, like, the Vanecek thing, I've been on this one, like, for a little while now. And, you know, kind of nobody's been noticing, except for you, I'm sure. But
I don't give a shit about goalies, so...
I love picking up goalies. Man, I pick up goalies all the fucking time. I love picking up goalies. You know that.
Well, yeah, they're boom or bust. You can get 10 points or you can get one. So they're really low risk.
And a lot of times I get the boom. Here comes the boom.
All right, let's wrap this thing up here. We got a few more.
Calm your tits.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
it's gonna be okay.
We're 25 minutes into the injury report. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. I can't help if these motherfuckers are getting hurt out here, okay? It's a contact sport.
This fucking podcast is about to be a contact sport.
We're going to do one more single player, and then we have an entire team to talk about. Single player, Robbie Fabbri.
Next.
He tore his ACL. We got to talk about Robbie Fabbri just because he is out for the whole season. I like streaming Robbie Fabbri every now and then. He plays a part in the fantasy world. You know, he shoots and he hits and he does all that jazz, but he's not doing that anymore for a little while because he tore his ACL again. This is actually the third time in his career. He tore his ACL twice while he was playing in St. Louis, and he's, you know, kind of had a resurgence. One good thing, I feel like the only silver lining here that I can really think of is if anybody knows how to come back from a torn ACL and come back to play in the NHL, it's Robbie Fabbri. So we're rooting for you here, bud. Other than that, the Vegas Golden Knights, they are fucked up. One of the guys that I suggested and did pick up myself was Riley Smith.
Bummer.
He hadn't played in the last two games for Vegas, and I didn't have any IR spots left, so I had to drop him. I'm sorry, Riley Smith. I'll see you when I see you, but hopefully you come back soon. There really wasn't too much on his injury, but he did go back to Vegas to get reevaluated. Maybe he flew on a plane with Robin Lehner, because Robin Lehner also returned to Vegas to reevaluate his lower body injury, which Peter DeBoer did say that it doesn't have anything to do with his previous upper body that saw him miss five straight games at the end of February. So it would appear that the two are not connected, but he hasn't exactly, you know, looked his normal self since returning. He did have a 2-2 record since returning, but the big question mark is Brassois. And the whole thing is, I like Brassois, But don't get me wrong. I don't know if I see him as an everyday starter, at least not for now. And I love him as a backup, but I just don't see him as an everyday
starter. Vegas is 4-7-1 over the last month. And that's even with Leonard. They're not the same Vegas we're used to, so.
Did you see the interview with Marchessault after they lost to Buffalo?
I saw the Eichel one.
That was awesome. But even...
Salty.
Yeah, Marchessault was more coming after his own team, though. So things are not happy in Vegas on top of all the injuries. I mean, Eichel's got, what, 8 points in 12 games so far, which is fine. You'd expect him to have a slow start. He has had, like, a 9-shot game and a 10-shot game recently.
He's coming around.
So he's still Jack Eichel. He's still Jack Eichel, but something like their team is not happy. And I know that's one thing. Brian Burke was a big critic of Vegas over the last few years. It's like, you have such a great team and you keep trying to change it and it's going to catch up with you and the vibe is going to disappear and you're going to lose what made you good. And that's kind of where they're at right now. Hopefully they can get something together. They're way too great of a team to be terrible like this.
Stars at every position, and it's just not working. Can't string it together. Like, looking at their lineup right now on Daily Faceoff, it's freaking, it's not pretty. Bottom six is not even recognizable. Like, Nicholas Waugh, Keegan Kolesar, Jake LeCision, Jonas Rondbjerg. Man, this is a different team. Rondberg. All right, let's get into the week preview before anybody else gets hurt. Oh, fucking Connor Murphy got hurt and Jacob Chychrun. So we got to talk about that. Sorry. I had something that I think right now leads into a perfect segue because Ottawa has one of the best schedules going into next week. But I think it was Parker Kelly laid Connor Murphy out, and Parker Kelly is slamming bodies right now. He's got like 40 hits in the last 2 weeks. Yeah, so I wanted to kick that off. Let's get it. All right, let's do the week preview. So, like you were saying, man, like, there are just an insane amount of games on the heavy nights. Tuesday's got 11, Thursday's got 10, Saturday's got 11, and you got one on Monday, and that was what? That was Ottawa and Arizona, you said?
Man, I just looked up Parker Kelly. He is ugly like the day is long.
Whew, that's why he's hitting. Wednesday's got 4, Friday's 6, Sunday's 6, so... Big bench issues on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Not like this last week. I think we had 13 games. But looking straight at Ottawa, just to kick it off, like, who do you guys like here? I think, you know, Parker Kelly stands out with 38 hits in his last 7 games. 3 goals to boot. You know, time on ice is shit. But, man, I love hits. And he's try-eligible.
Yeah, I mean, Ottawa's come up a few times recently. You still got Stützle. He's still not very owned, and he's been always decent. He's been playing well for a while.
I think we got to talk about Josh Norris. Really do.
Yes, please.
6 points in his last 5 games. 14 shots in there. 16:29 average time on ice. And he's 46% rostered at this point. Line 1, power play 1. If you're looking for offense, have room for a center. Those light nights that I was telling you guys about, Ottawa's playing on 3 of them. They play Arizona to start the week, the only game on Monday. Then they play Columbus, Philly, Montreal. Now, if that's not in their weight class this entire week, I don't know what is. Especially with Columbus shaping out to be the team that they're going to be this week. I really like this week for Ottawa's offense.
Yeah, definitely. Norris has been a goal scorer all year. He's been fantastic. And like you were saying already, like, the really important week to load up as much as you can on those light nights, because they're really light and you can get a big jump on people.
How are we feeling about Colin White? We talked about him last episode. Any change of heart here?
No.
Not for me either. My guy is still Stützle. He has actually been hitting really well lately. He has four hits a game in his last 3. And what? He has 1 goal and 6 assists in his last 4 games. 4 games.
Yeah, he's feeling it. He's feeling it.
And I guess Connor Brown's still an option there, too. He's only 9% owned, and he's almost a point per game over his last 10, believe it or not. He's playing around 20 minutes a night, so he's fine. He shoots a fair bit because there's not many people left to shoot on that team, so he's an option.
And there's tons of bangs here, too.
Tim Stützle, he's from Der Vaterland.
Tons of bangs. Austin Watson, Parker Kelly, the newly crowned kind of king of hits at this point, but... you know, Zach Sanford giving you a little bit of everything. Artem Zub is just chugging along. There's a little bit of everything.
Parker Kelly's pretty exciting. I like that. Always like it when there's a new mean, ugly guy coming in scoring goals and hitting shit.
Yeah, he's just pretty exciting as long as you keep the lights off.
Who do we like next? I think Washington's got a pretty good schedule.
Washington's got a good schedule. They got particularly the second half for them.
Yeah, this is a weekend preview schedule for me.
Islanders, Columbus. Yeah, they got because they got the Friday Sunday off nights. But to start the week, though, they do have the Islanders and then Columbus. So pretty good matchups for the heavy nights.
Yeah, Columbus coming off a back to back from Ottawa too, so they'll be tired.
As it always comes up with Washington, though, it's just a matter of like finding useful players who are available, because Washington tends to be quite owned.
The relevant ones, yeah.
You know, I don't know that we can really say that the Islanders aren't what they were at the beginning of the season. They've actually been playing pretty damn well, apart from, you know, the outlier of, you know, the Avalanche whooping up on them. But still, they scored 4 goals and, you know, let in 5. But that's against a really good team in the Avalanche. But, I mean, let's look at their past couple of games. They whooped up on the Jets, where the Jets only scored 2 goals. The Blue Jackets got shut out. The Blues scored 1 goal. You know what I mean? It's not like they're getting killed like they were earlier in the season. Ilya Sorokin is looking fantastic. He just pitched that shutout. I don't think that the Islanders are, you know, in the same, you know, lower weight class as they were earlier in the year. They're actually coming into form a little bit. Now, is that really going to matter and get them into the playoffs? I don't know about all that. But at least they're starting to, you know, play like the team that they should be. I will say this. I think that their only easy game here is going to be against Columbus. You know, they have that back-to-back with Columbus and Carolina. But Washington always has to show up and, you know, wake up for Carolina, especially in Carolina. That place gets rowdy when Washington is in the building, because they love fucking with Washington. On top of the fact that they get to finish it off in Dallas.
Dallas is
so
tough,
I mean,
too, yeah.
While I still do like Vanacek, this is not the easiest week in the world.
And you got to imagine the same thing you were saying about Demko before we went on. Every single goalie is going to be on alert with Ovechkin too, because they don't want to be that guy that gives up the goal that beats Jagr. You know what I mean? So
yeah, the poster goal. Yeah,
a lot of attention paid to Ovi at this week. He'll get it probably against Columbus or the Islanders early in the week, but
he's gonna score 4 goals against Columbus. So I mean,
it'll happen.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so I mean, if we are looking in Washington, the guy I like is Marty Fevs. 3 hits a game, 2 blocks a game over the last 2 weeks, 7 games. So I like Fevs. There's not much else. Like, I know, Zach, you took a turn on Connor Sherry, which isn't a bad call.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I don't think it was a bad call.
No, nobody's saying it
is. I mean, he's on that first line. He's getting time with that top line. He's not, you know, getting a lot of time because he just doesn't get a lot of playing time. It's like 12, 13 minutes. But he ritually gets 12 to 13 minutes. It doesn't really dip down. It doesn't really go up above 15 or anything. He gets right around 13 minutes time on ice. But for a while there, he was getting, you know, he had 2 multi-point games in a row where he had, you know, 2 assists one game, 2 goals the next game, followed up with another goal. Now he is pointless in the last 2 games, but I'm still in on a possible Connor Sherry pickup.
What do you think about Anthony Mantha, who snuck back kind of under the radar? He's got 2 points in his last 5, 13 shots. He has line 2, power play 2. So, I mean, if he's one of the best by way of deployment that we can get outside of, like, Connor Sherry, I guess you could call it that. But, like, Mantha is, you know, getting a little bit more minutes than Sherry. So, I don't know. Like,
I picked him up in a couple of leagues on the off chance that he would, you know, have that magical comeback. He's been okay. He's been shooting 3 times a game, hitting off and on. But yeah, I haven't dropped him yet. I'm going to try to hang on to him through this week with the positive schedule here and see if he pulls it together. But so far, he's kind of been fine-ish. That's it. So I hope he does better because I picked him up in a couple of leagues, but he's been a perennial disappointment to me. I always seem to miss his hot streaks. So wait for me to drop him and then pick him up.
And then Garnet Hathaway. But yeah, we got what? Arizona. We get to talk about some of these guys right now.
Arizona starts and ends the week with back-to-backs and then don't play in the middle. So they have an interesting schedule.
Yeah, early week. Send it. There's a lot to be had here too. Especially like if you know you're listening to, we're recording on a Saturday night, so if you're listening on Sunday, you can load up going into the week and then just pitch off with whatever. So Arizona is
scoring. Other people are going out to bars and having a good time on a Saturday night. What are we doing?
Talking hockey. Dude, so okay, Keller has 9 points in his last five. Schmaltz has a goal every game in his last five.
Schmaltz.
And 8 assists on top of it with only 11 shots. So he's got more points than he does shots at this point. Ridiculous what they're putting together right now. Shane Gostisbehere's bears point per game over the last 2 weeks. Lawson Crouse is doing a little bit, but he's especially hitting. There are a ton of options here, man. Let me tell you, Clayton Keller, 55% roster.
And Jacob Chychrun was finally turning it around. Fuck. Fuck, and I picked him up
with him
too.
On like the trade block at this point and trade deadline coming up. I think they're kind of squint their eyes when they're reading the doctor's note. You know what I mean? So they're probably going to push him out onto the ice. He is 72% rostered. His rostership is going way up. Keller 55%, Schmaltz 40%, Gostisbehere 40%,
Schmaltz.
Kraus 10%, Kessel 10%. Although Kessel is the least productive out of any of these names we've talked about. That one shift Iron Man game has to be thrown off his average time on ice. So I'm not even going to talk about 12 minutes a game. Nick Ritchie's hitting a lot too.
You know what's crazy? Even if you take away Nick Schmaltz's 7-point game, he's still well over a point per game in the last 10 games. Like it wasn't just that one game. Like he's at 20 points in the last 10 games. So he's had a legit stretch here. That's a quarter of a season.
Schmaltz anomaly. Yeah, it's happening.
You know what else is crazy? Nick Schmaltz sounds like something a Jewish grandmother would say to you. You got some schmaltz on your face. Let me wipe that off for you.
Yeah, it's 20 points. That's what it is. I think there is options schmaltz here, man, and I like them for the early week. So check them out. All available for the most part.
Everybody is available. They're all available.
Everybody must go.
Bail on Tuesday night.
Yeah, Tuesday night, fucking pitch them to the wind. What else do we like in here? Zach, I see you got San Jose. Is that for, are we going to save that one for the weekend preview?
They have the off nights on the weekend. They have Florida early in the week and then LA, who's also hot. So they might be tough go at the front half.
3 games and 4 nights to end the week, which is cool.
Yeah. I had them in there just because they do have a good schedule. Now it's, super up and down as they play Florida where they're going to lose. Then they have a chance to win against Los Angeles. Then they're going to lose to Colorado. And then who the fuck knows against Arizona? Arizona's probably going to whoop up on them. Who knows? But at least they're scoring. But yeah, fuck San Jose. I hope they lose all these games.
This is what I would do. Like if I'm streaming the whole week, I look at Arizona for Monday, Tuesday. And then I'm looking at Boston, Craig Smith, for Wednesday and Friday. Those two off nights.
Yay, Craig Smith.
Yeah, I like what he's doing right now. And then Sunday, I'll just pick somebody up. I mean, San Jose's playing Arizona. That's going to be a high-scoring affair, apparently. But then you got the Islanders against the Flyers. And they can never play the Islanders right, so that's going to be a game. That's what I'm doing. I like Arizona to start, and I'm going to Boston. Craig Smith. You can go to Calgary, too. Or Ottawa. There's options, baby. That's what I love about this week is there's options, and there's good low rostered options.
And you can keep doing the, two games at a time thing. That is one thing that's nice about this week. You can keep on rolling with these back-to-backs, which is, how can you not like doing that? One pickup for 2 days and then drop them? I like it.
So let's talk about 0G before we close this one out. Arizona has a back-to-back to start the week. That's tough. What do you guys think about streaming in any Arizona goalie?
I don't even know who they are at this point. I don't.
It's Ottawa and Montreal. I think they're playing. Yeah, Ottawa, Montreal.
Yeah. Well, it's Carol Vemelka, but yeah, or VeggieTales, if you will. But dude, VeggieTales been kicking ass, man. It's been kicking ass as long as he gets the goal support. That's all he needs is the goal support for
once. He's been winning when Arizona scores 9.
Yeah. Hey. Well, you know, he only let one goal in against Colorado, 2 goals in against Detroit. In those last 2 games, he has like a 950 between those two. Now, he did have a couple beef and cheddars before there. But Vemelka really actually hasn't been horrible this year for being on that team. I mean, he's still posting above a 900 on a save percentage for the year. Now, his goals against average is well above 3, but I don't know that that's really his fucking fault. The fact that he still has a 904, he is above 900 on a team like the Arizona fucking Coyotes, who, you know, just in the last week and a half, all of a sudden are playing well. It's been a long season. They week and a half, they're playing well. He still is above a 900. Not so bad.
What I like about early week back-to-back, you know, 0G kind of Hail Marys here is you got the rest of the week to like try and unfuck those numbers if it really does go.
I don't
go
know if way. I want Scott Wedgwood.
If Vemelka has been playing well, yeah, Wedgwood kick rocks. But Vemelka at 9% rostered, you can get him against Ottawa or Montreal at this point. And then, you know, you can either hold on to him or drop him and pick him back up for San Jose on the weekend. Or maybe Pittsburgh, who knows which one they play. But there are so many back-to-backs this week that, you know, you really can fix it if you need to. But yeah, then, I mean, you got like New Jersey. Nico Dawes has been playing pretty well. They got Calgary and Vancouver. So that's one to look at. And then, I mean, we'll touch on the weekend 0G options when we get to the weekend preview. But this is a pretty good week for streaming. All right, guys, that's it for the week preview. If there's anything else you want to chirp us at, you can get us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. You can go in the Fantasy Hockey Discord and we can talk about streaming options and whatnot. And that's it. Love you. Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Love you.
Love yous. Bye. Love yous. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Nuggets.